Calicut got to remember fondly. Yeah. Okay, Bill Ford, Bill Ford's father of the livery station met every train.
So when Bill grew up as a little boy, that was probably the second thing he did after he walked was to get into a carriage and drive up to the station with his father, because he was trying to rent the rig to salespeople who came here to call. So all during his youth, he was used to meeting the trains. Well, then he started running the newsroom here in town, Bill did. And he used to go down and get his own newspapers off the train. So he met every train that came here with the latest edition of the papers. Of course, he had a monopoly on all the news business in town. And consequently, you know, he had a good business with the trains. He got a lot of newspapers off of them. And that was, he did that as a man and boy, you know, boy and man. And so when they were going to run the last train, he was practically the only one in town that gave a damn whether the train ran or not. So he and his wife went down, I think he was married then, to Rachel, pretty sure he was. They went down to Boston, and he rode the last train up to Westboro and got off. And there's a picture I've seen of him getting off the train. Somebody has that picture. I know Rachel has it. She should have.
Rachel Ford? Yeah. And it meant a lot to him, obviously.
That was published in the paper. Yeah.
Several generations.
Yeah.
Train business really made Westboro boom as far as blossoming in the 1800s because we shipped out incredible amounts of hats and boots and sleighs and whatever else was produced here.
Yeah.
A lot. I think that's why the factories did so well, obviously.
Right.
And in a way, we've got high-tech, different types of industry now. It'd be interesting if they use this. That's good. Well, maybe once more, Harold, we'll get trains, passengers.
Maybe. Put that up in response to President Hoover's suggestion, and they built the town hall, and they also built what used to be the high school.
Yeah, that was earlier. That was 25. The
was
high
that?
School came in.
Yeah.
But that was the earliest, I think. And then the others were all the 30s,
right.
As you said. So they, it was a response. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And also the fact that the Depression needed work.
Yeah, it was a response to Hoover's plan.
Now, as far as when you said the trains went through here, could you tell me where the, this is in the middle of Westboro, right? What was their trail? How did they route?
Well, in order to explain that, it's necessary that I point out that the train at the present time goes over East Main Street on a bridge. And the town was in a, they had so many trains previous to the construction of the bridge down there. There were so many trains going through Westboro and stopping at Westboro. Horses and carriages couldn't get across the way. It was like a traffic jam, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a train traffic jam, and it was holding up everything. So all the townspeople went to Boston to the railroad company, and the railroad company agreed to relocate their tracks from the center of Westboro, went right through here, up. All the Boston trains went right straight down in the swamp around the
Cedar,
border of the
right
swamp.
From Cedar Swamp straight
from
up.
From the border of Cedar Swamp. Up through here.
Through, let's see, this is up Brigham or Union?
Right on right where the buildings have all now been built.
Between Brigham and Union. And across to Summer, is that right?
Yeah, and they ran between Summer Street and Milk Street.
Okay.
And if you look, there's still evidences of the passage up through there. We can't see
they call
it
the
here.
Train bed or something. Kids are they remember some older
really?
People in town remember the old, when it was moved. Now, do you know when it was moved?
Sure, I do. It was moved in about 1890.
Okay.
It was a tremendous project.
Okay.
And strangely enough, there was a Forbes that was very instrumental. He was a judge.
William Trowbridge Forbes.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lived on Church Street, and it was big in town. But before this, then, the trains were running since 1834, I know.
Right.
And they ran on a regular schedule to Boston and
Worcester. Fantastic business.
Big business. Now, there was also a milk train
Oh, yeah.
That the farmers would load their milk on. And the milk... Now, the depot... Do you know where the depot was in the old times? Was it further down?
Yeah, there's a picture that everybody has. It shows a big elm tree that was located where the square is now. And, the depot was in back of me. It would be down about where the research building was, right across from Danny's Motors.
Behind,
matter of fact,
behind
what is
the
now,
Hickox building, then. Little
yeah,
bit.
What is now Danny's Motors was a stable.
Okay, that would be John Ford's livery stable.
Livery stable. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because then, when, what's his name? Doug Waddell's father, Charlie Waddell, came back from World War I as young men. They started the garage business. He started with Danny in the garage business back in that stable.
Started in the old livery stable?
Yeah, right. Into a garage.
Okay. Now the freight, you know where the freight depot was? That was also down there. The
freight depot still stands there. Bay State has it. It's a brick building, and it's they use it as a storage place. It's visible from Brigham Street.
There was a lumber yard there, I know. Coal?
Yeah, Nason had a huge coal tower. Very, very large coal tower. Could load, I think they could load up to 6 trucks at one time.
So the coal would be delivered right out to the, by rail to his coal
sort
yard?
Of clean. It was stored in these huge overhead bunkers. And originally, of course, the carriage was horse-drawn, but when it came to motor trucks, they backed in under the bunkers and they took out as many tons as any particular customer wanted to deliver it to.
Okay. Now, the lumber had long gone at that point.
Oh, no, the
lumber
was
there.
Still there,
very active
over here. Nason's lumber yard, and he also sold a lot of grain and farm supplies because there are a lot of farmers around here. That was before high-tech, right?
Slightly. Just a little. All right. And then the train moved, you say, in the 1890s or so, over to
well,
where it is now.
Well, the main line did.
Main
but
line
this,
did.
The
spur.
This mm-hmm. line continued through here, way beyond that, servicing the various industries. You see, they serviced the tape shop, old textile tape shop,
mm-hmm.
which is the Chase land.
Yeah, the J.S. Mason tape shop
right.
on Milk Street.
Right. They all had carload deliveries and freight directly to their door.
So a freight train would go right up through the square still.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the J.S. Mason Grain Company was across the street
on
where
Milk Street
the pub
too.
Is now.
Yeah. And they also would get to
they had a rail siding, sure.
All right. I didn't realize
up
that the
rail... Up until very recently, you know, relatively, like in the 30s.
That's when that... That spur
was taken out when the traffic circle was redone
right.
by the Forbeses.
I didn't realize that. I thought everything stopped here just about as it is now.
Yeah.
Right up through the 30s. So therefore, shoes, they had the shoe factory.
Oh, yeah,
there.
They had the shoe factory. Yeah.
Underwear factory, I don't
right.
know where they needed, but and the tape.
Oh, yeah, they all used it.
Rain, so they all used the rail. They get deliveries. They could. How would it work? How they get a great big carload of stuff? Would they just? What do they do with a carload of? Did the train stop and they unloaded it? Or did
no,
they have
the
a
train. The Westboro was the home of 2 or 3 switching engines, so called.
What's that?
It just worked. It's little steam engines. It just worked in town on the tracks over here. Steam locomotives, little ones. Crews were all stationed here, and the big train would come in and drop off 30, 40 cars, and then the little engines would shove them around town on the different side tracks. There was a track that went down to where the old age housing is now on Beach Street. There was an English company that had that made bicycles down there.
Yeah,
originally,
the Humber Company, I figured.
Automobiles,
yeah.
You know, they had a rail site.
Oh, all right. So these little engines could bring.
Only
one car
at
a time
yeah, one
to the factories. And a rail siding is just a piece of track that goes up beside
right.
your
there are only a few of them left in town. Corrugated paper has one. As you're going up 135 and look over the bridge, you'll Switch engine has dropped off.
So there is still a Switch engine in town, huh?
No, there isn't. But because of changes in the union laws.
Okay.
But
what else has a real signing before?
The Switch engine, pardon me, is now down at Flanders Road at the Chrysler auto unloading because there's tremendous rail traffic still in Westboro, but it's moved down to Flanders Road.
Okay, so
it's one of the largest recipients of railroad freight in Massachusetts.
Really? Do they receive there?
They receive all the Chrysler motor vehicles that are sold in this part of New England, including Maine and New Hampshire, and they receive all the American automobile, the American, AMC, American Motors.
American Motor Corporation.
They both ship carload lots of automobiles to Westboro.
And then what happens to them? They're loaded on trucks?
They're loaded on trucks and taken around wherever.
Now, there was a time when Penn Central bought that siding or whatever that in the 70s,
yeah,
I think, or 69, I think it was. I went back in some records, and that was a big, important move in Westboro to have Penn Central.
Well, it was all kind of stymied at the time. Penn Central had a vice president. He was an enormous man. He was about 6.5 feet tall. And he was a very active, intelligent businessman. And he decided that the future of the transportation business was loading trucks on trains instead of them cluttering up the highways and then whisking them around the country. And the ideal place to do this would be where 495 and the Mass Turnpike intersected.
This
so
is the intermodal concept?
He came in his private train here one day.
Do you remember what years we're talking about? Is it 60s?
Well, it was probably in the 60s, yeah.
Okay.
With another very intelligent man, young man then, whose name was Wallace Yaffe, who was a developer. And, he said, if the railroad could just put over here a larger facility, then we could unload these trucks in this area, and they could go out on the main roads and wouldn't bother the local people. And our traffic, you know, we'd be way ahead of the game. Everybody would be.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, the town voted the proposal down because they're afraid of the smokestack industry idea, which they didn't have that phrase then, but that was what they were against. And that wasn't so serious. The serious thing was that Penn Central went into bankruptcy. See? And the intelligent man who was working for them left and became president of Flying Tigers Airlines. And he made that with the principal freight carrier in the airline business. Then, under his leadership, they bought the North American Car Company, which is a huge company that rents out railroad cars, refrigerator cars. And also under his presidency, a lot of new technology, mm-hmm. Road railways.
Bring it back to Westboro, though. What happened to this area down at freight?
Well, then, you see, the railroad couldn't go ahead with buying the land. So Yaffe bought a lot of it. And Yaffe was entranced with the idea that it was serviced not only by the two highways, but also by rail. But he was way ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And he held it for years and years and paid taxes on it. Made all kinds of money out as a result of owning it. Finally, he sold out, really forced out.
Mm-hmm.
And people who own it now, who came in later, of course, they realized the appreciation of value.
Now, who owns it now? What's that?
Well, the different companies that have bought it, like Data General, people like that.
And it is still serviced Penn Central does unload these Chrysler.
They have a little bit of it, but the only thing they ever put in there was the auto unloading business.
Okay. But it is a large auto unloading.
Yeah, large.
It's their main thing.
Large.
It is under Penn. Is it Penn Central?
No, it isn't Penn Central.
Penn Central went
anymore.
Bankrupt, you said.
Yeah, so. Right. It's Conrail.
Okay. Could you kind of work backwards, or maybe we can work forwards? Once the rail had been moved over there, there was a commuter train. This was in the early 1900s, let's say, and then right up to 1950s.
Right.
There was a commuter train, is that right?
Yeah.
To Boston.
Well, there were several.
Several commuter trains.
Right.
And also to Worcester. I, in talking to Sid Apt, he remembers 3 in the morning to Boston and 2 in the morning to Worcester, and the reversed coming home. And I don't know, did that continue quite a long time?
There were more trains than he remembers.
All right.
There were at least 12 trains, and whenever one ran down, the other one came back.
Mm-hmm.
At least that number. The trains, the commuter trains, which probably are the ones he's remembering, they began and ended in Worcester, and the steam locomotives and all of them and their crews all worked out of Worcester. There was a big roundhouse in Worcester. Then, of course, you had the through trains to New York, to Chicago, and various other points.
Now, did they stop in Westboro?
Oh, sure. So that it was much easier to get to New York in those days. You could go down to the railroad station and get on the train, and probably 4 hours you were in New York.
That's wonderful.
And you could have your dinner on the way in a beautiful dining car.
Now,
as a matter of fact, they say that's where Forbes met.
Miss
Have you
Fanny,
heard that story?
Yes, I have. Frank Forbes had been recently widowed and had a young child, and he was traveling to Chicago, and he met Miss Fanny Hooker and her parents and fell in love on the train. I'm not sure what happened
yeah,
after
right,
that.
Right.
And they were married.
Nice story.
And,
yeah.
Nice story. Yeah. But I don't know much more about the story except that they fell in love and he married her and brought her back here. And the Hooker family had invested in gum. Is that right? The Wrigley's
yeah.
gum?
That's what I heard too.
But that's all I know. You think it was a train
yeah.
romance?
Well,
huh?
the other thing about it was that always struck me. Not only was he a romantic man, he had to be, and she too, but they were so, so disciplined, so controlled. Their money, instead of corrupting them and destroying, which money does to so many people, it enhanced their life and the lives of all the people around them, because they guarded it wisely and they used it wisely, and not really for their own living. They lived very plainly.
Mm-hmm.
They were very generous people. In this
all
community.
Over the town, yes.
And nobody ever knew the things they did. I understand this. I wasn't living
mm-hmm.
here. But they were like so many people of that era who had a lot of money, that money didn't spoil them.
And they felt a public responsibility to
yeah.
a civic pride
right.
that was
yeah.
on there. Also, it was before income taxes as well.
Hey, that's right, too.
But I'm sure there were a lot of people that did not follow those footsteps. So the Forbes were Frank and Fanny Forbes were great. Now, we had commuter trains. People could go to New York in 4 hours. They could also go to Chicago. When was that stopped? How long ago?
Well, that ran up until the 40s, through World War II. The railroad tried desperately to, they put on a lot of new equipment in 46, 47, 48, 49, and the early 50s.
Now, what railroad is this, Boston and Albany?
At that time, it was the Boston and Albany, which was a part of the New York Central.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the old-timers who worked on the railroad used to say that the whole trouble was that it got so big it couldn't be managed. When it was the Boston and Albany, the local people ran it. And if they had local problems, they could solve them local ways. But then the New York Central got hold of it, and everything was run out of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then to compound it, they got involved now with Conrail, and everything is run out of Philadelphia. So
just...
Yeah, it's not manageable.
Made it further complex. Now, you say that the commuter train stopped around after World War II in the early 50s. That was the commuter train as well as the...
Everything stopped in the 50s.
Yeah. At that point, when did Conrail come in? What is this?
Oh, Conrail didn't come in until around 1978 or so.
And did they buy out New York Central?
Conrail was a government bailout to protect the transportation arteries and also to really protect the jobs of the railroad workers.
Now, what is the train activity now in Westboro as it is today? I see trains going by every day.
Yeah, there's one passenger train that runs from Boston to Chicago.
No stops along the way, or no stops?
Stops in Framingham and Worcester. It's a very good train. It makes money. Run by Amtrak. It has very good equipment on it. And everybody who rides on it says they enjoy the trip.
But if we wanted to get it in Westboro, we'd have to go to Framingham or Worcester.
Yeah, just a short drive in Worcester. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's probably a better place for the station because the people here don't want traffic.
Would be nice to get on a train, Harold, and go to Boston and Worcester.
The town doesn't want the responsibility. Then two people are afraid that, undesirable people will be attracted to the town if there's good transportation.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What other, besides this passenger train, there are freight trains?
Oh, yeah. It's a very well-paying branch of the Conrail system. A great deal of the freight is originated by the General Motors plant in Framingham. It's one of the few places you can see where local work is exported to the rest of the country so that money comes in from the rest of the country. You see the trains going out of through Westboro loaded with cars going west. That means they were made in Framingham.
They're just sent out to the Midwest and all over
the coast, south or anywhere.
That would be their largest freight problem.
Yes, that's the largest customer the Conrail has on this line. The other thing, strangely enough, is since the railroads have been deregulated and they're allowed to compete as far as price is concerned, that only happened 2 years ago.
In 82?
In 1982, about 5% of the fruit that was shipped out of California came by rail. The rest moved by truck. 95% moved by truck. After deregulation, the freight salesman working for the railroad was able to go to the fruit shippers in California and say, what have you got to ship? And they'd say, well, we got, a lot of oranges, a carload or a truckload. And he can then say, well, I'll charge you so much to take them to Boston. And the fruit shipper would say, well, I've got another price over here from a trucker, $200 less. Now the railroad salesman can say, okay, we'll drop him $200 under him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're allowed the freedom to bargain,
yeah,
which they never had. So now almost, I think it's up to maybe 35% of the fruit leaving California is moving by rail. And they expect it will be way over 60%.
So they're expecting this deregulation really to be a shot in the arm
for
freight.
But if you notice the trains going through Westboro, a lot of them now are refrigerated in cars carrying fruit from California and they're going into the Boston market.
Ah, all right. Mainly fruit now?
They carry a lot of products, fruit, and all kinds of things.
Originating in the West Coast, products coming.
Yeah, Mexico, too.
So we have refrigerated cars and car.
Yeah, right.
Piggyback.
There's a lot of other things. It's a busy line, but those are the two.
How many trains? Do you have any idea how many go through?
Yes, I think there's around 10 trains in each direction.
Wow. a day. I didn't realize there were that many. This is plus, or in addition to the Amtrak that goes through once a day.
Yeah, it's very busy in line.
Has it been building up recently, or is it has?
Oh, sure, it's building up because
of the
deregulation.
All the time, because of the deregulation, so that...
Sure was. See, they're not only grabbing off the fruit business, they're grabbing off all the other businesses as well.
This is all centered along Conrail, though, right? Conrail is...
Well, right here, that's all we have.
Now, that I don't understand. This the politics of who owns what track and who can... That's quite complicated. Not every train can go on every track, is that right? Or how does it work in Westboro? What lines can...
The cars go anywhere. In other words, I remember when the Guywards had a factory back here where they made...
Marcus Mason.
Sugar machine. And I remember seeing a railroad boxcar that was loaded with sugar machinery made in Westboro. And it was shipped out. Went to Florida over a car ferry, railroad to Cuba, and was delivered to the farm where the factory was going to be used. So the car itself goes anywhere.
Okay. But what happens? I mean, there are different companies that own different track, or how does that all work?
Yes.
Particularly in our area, what's...
Well, recently the old Boston and Maine Railroad and the Maine Central Railroad, and the Delaware and Hudson Railroad, that would be all the railroads in Maine, and the ones that run through Fitchburg and Gardner are out to the west through the Hoosick Tunnel. They've all been bought by the Mellon family, and they're in the process, because of course I suppose it's deregulation. Now once again, a few years ago, maybe 5% again of the potatoes that left Maine moved by rail, the rest of them came by truck. The Boston Maine Railroad just announced it's now running a train every day from Portland to New Haven, non-stop, carrying nothing but potatoes. See, all those trucks are taking off the road. You know, when you drive around, you don't have to go around.
That's great. That's great. How does this affect what's going on here? Who owns this track?
Conrail.
Conrail owns the track all the way through, is that it?
Yeah. Now what's going on here is that Conrail started to make money about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably, it's going to be sold. The prospective buyers are three. One is the Santa Fe Railroad, which would give them a transcontinental railroad for the first time. The other one is the Southern Pacific, no, Santa Fe, and the Union Pacific. The other one is the Union Pacific, which would give them a transcontinental railroad. And the third alternative is that the employees would buy it and run it as a cooperative. It was a Soviet, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
It's going to take off.
Well, no, but the idea that the employees
could
might
do
buy
this.
It.
And when might this happen? A couple of years?
According to the law involved, it has to happen next year. Because they want to get the Conrail, they want to stop operating as a government agency.
Hmm.
Reagan wants to get, you know, you read when Margaret Thatcher was selling the post or the telephone company in Great Britain to private enterprise. He'd like to get rid of Conrail for the same reason. It's a private enterprise. He feels it should be.
Now, has there been a move to bring back a commuter train or a passenger train?
Yes, I worked very hard on that for years and years and
weeks. What were you part of? You were part of a group?
Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce and the rail unit or rail research.
That was about all the Chamber of Commerce. I organized the Chamber of Commerce to do that. They had a few other things they did.
That was in what years?
That was in the 60s and
70s. When I talk to people now, they still would like to use a train. But you say the main reason is people thinking it would detract traffic, death, population, crowd?
Well, I don't think that's the main reason. I think that's one of many reasons. People feel that access to the whole community that we live in will endanger the relatively safe fortress that we occupy here.
Our
small
town.
Keep the gates closed.
Seems like an opening.
Distance is a wall. And if you cut down the distance by making it easier to travel through the distance, then you've reduced the height of the walls,
or
else you've opened too many gates.
Interesting, because we now have such
traffic. It's a natural feeling.
Yeah, it is, except that also when I'm reading about the great convenience that the train brought to Westboro.
But then people didn't object, you see. Then it was a more homogeneous society.
Mm-hmm.
Like Japan. More transportation, they love it because they're all Japanese and they like to associate with each other.
They don't mind crowding.
We've got every manner of breed of cat in this country. People like to separate themselves.
Interesting. And we still have kind of a small town feeling in the middle of the town. The outsides, the outskirts are being developed industrially. But downtown has a small town feeling still.
Oh, sure.
But I still would love to hop a train to get
to. Oh yeah,
to
I would.
Now tell me about the depot. What was it? Do you remember it when it was used, and what it was like?